Hello, welcome back to another night of Shure. This is Ellie Nyman. I cannot replace the Magid Shure, but I will be giving Shure in his stead. We are learning Leila Nishmas, Chaim Baruch Ben Zabel, Perel Bas Pinchas, Miriam Liba Bas Ravaro, May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. May there be a Refuah Shleima for all those who are sick, and may our Shure be a S'chus for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael. So, we are in the month of Adar, and we are going to be continuing. Some people may recall that we are going to actually be doing Megillas Esther Be'ion. Purim is less than a month away, and so it's a good idea to do Megillas Esther Be'ion. That's what we've been doing. To recap, we are doing the Gemara Megillah in the first parak, which goes through the entire Megillah, and some of these things are based on Midrashim you may have heard as a kid. It may have actually, some of the Midrashim might be a little bit different. There could be conflicting midrashim or whatever. We'll just say that there could be conflicting midrashim because there's Esther Rabbah, there are various commentaries, sometimes there's various interpretations on how to understand it. But nevertheless, we're going to be continuing. So in the last couple shiurim, the first shiur, we talked about how many rabbanim darshan Megillas Esther. And there is a certain Masara for who is good and who is bad, right? Obviously, Haman is bad. Ahasuerus, as we learned in the first couple shiurim, is probably a Rasha, although there are some opinions that say he was a Pikeach. He was smart, not that he was a Tzaddik, but that he was a Pikeach. And we learned in the second shiur all about Ahasuerus. According to many opinions, he was probably a Rasha. And of course, if you learned this as a kid, that's where they got it from. They got it from Gemara Megillah, and possibly Esther Rabbah, as well as other commentaries. We're going to continue. We're going to skip around to try to get an idea. And so we're going to continue in the Gemara Megillah and to try to understand the Megillah. So I am going to read from the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph, but I actually figured I was preparing. We're going to give a little background. Many people don't realize, although most of these things are written explicitly in rabbinic text, some of the background before Purim. So just to clarify a few things. First of all, story takes place in Persia, the modern-day Iran, and it takes place between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. What people don't realize is the Jews are in Gaulis after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Who sent them there? B'derech HaTeva. We know Hashem runs the show. Who sent them there? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's son was Belshazzar. Belshazzar's granddaughter is Vashti. So Vashti's grandfather is Belshazzar. Belshazzar's father is Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Another thing to realize. I'm pretty sure it's the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu that says that everybody knew this. It seems that both the Jews and the Persians knew that although the first Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, there's a Nevuah that 70 years will pass, and there will be the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. This made the Persians, like Ahasuerus, very nervous, because of course, if he rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to overthrow the kingdom. And of course, they did not want this, right? The Persians don't want this. But it was prophesied that the Jews would go back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, and Bavel would fall. They would more or less fall. So this was Yirmiyahu's prophecy, and everybody believes it, and everybody knew it. Part of what fuels the Purim story is that the Jews figure when they, well, we'll see in the Gemara a little bit, that basically the Nevuah doesn't appear to come true. It doesn't appear to come true. But as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the many people made a mistake. Okay? The question about prophecies is when does it take effect? Okay? So part of the idea of the party, I think, if I recall exactly, was that, okay, the Jews will not be redeemed. We're also going to be Chas v'Shalom. We're also going to be talking about the party, and the Gemara is going to talk about the party at length. I forget exactly why Ahasuerus made the party, but I think the Megillah says to celebrate his kingdom, and part of that was that, okay, I rule the world, that said Ahasuerus. I have nothing to worry about. You may have heard in yeshiva or school that the Jews made a mistake by going to the party, which was true, but we'll see a little bit more than that. So with that background, I'm going to go through the Gemara, and we'll explain some ideas. So we're talking about Ahasuerus now, Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph on the base. Amar, Ahasuerus said, Ihumiyatatai, Belshazzar, Vashti's grandfather, made a mistake. Anachisha Cheshidna Voltaina. I am going to calculate when the Nevuah happens, and I am not going to make a mistake. And since once the Chas V'Shalom, the Nevuah expires, Achashverosh says, I am in control, and Chas V'Shalom, the Jews will not be redeemed. But he made a big mistake, as we'll see soon. Okay? Since Achashverosh saw that the 7 years were completed, the Jews were not redeemed, Amar, he said, Hashtavadai tu lo miparke. Ha ha ha! Now certainly they will never be redeemed. So the 70 years that Yirmiyahu prophesies was going to happen, now it won't be redeemed. Okay, I'm in control. Achashverosh says, I'm in control. He brought out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and used them at the banquet. As a punishment for his insolence, the Satan came and danced among them and killed Vashti. Ah, so he said, okay, Hashem, Chas V'Shalom does not rule the world. I won, says Achashverosh, and so he took out the kelim, but the Satan got him back. The Gemara says, what do you mean? He calculated correctly. Achashverosh also made a mistake. For he should have counted the 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim, which occurred 11 years after Yehoyachin was exiled. So I forget exactly who Yehoyachin is. He's, I think right before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And so Achashverosh also made a mistake. From the Nevuah, he counted from when Yehoyachin was exiled, but it was supposed to be counted from the destruction of the Yerushalayim, and I guess the Beis HaMikdash as well. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Af Daniel Ta'a Behai Kushbina. Even Daniel made a mistake in the 70 years in the prophecy. For it's written, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, contemplated a calculation. Since he said, I contemplated, one may infer that initially he made a mistake in his calculation. So he knew Yirmiyahu's prophecy, but he also made a mistake. It's a wild thing. Keep in mind, I did a little math. I'm not sure exactly the whole thing, but Daniel was, in Sefer Daniel, Daniel talks to Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, according to some opinions, Hasach in Megillas Esther is Daniel, which means at the time of Purim, Daniel is a very old man. He has to be, since the exile is about 70 years. He already knew Nebuchadnezzar, because we see that from Sefer Daniel, and he has a whole standoff with Nebuchadnezzar. I think he even tells Nebuchadnezzar, you're a kingdom will fall, and of course Nebuchadnezzar does not want to hear that. Nebuchadnezzar is a Russia, doesn't want to hear that. And Daniel survives, and he is, by the time of the Purim story, he also, the Gemara says, he also did not know exactly when the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu would take effect. When do the 70 years take effect? So we see, one of the lessons we see from this is that sometimes we calculate a certain redemption and we're wrong. Even Gemara outright says Daniel did not know. And if it means by the time of Purim, he also did not know. Or did not realize, he wasn't sure. It's a straight Gemara. The Gemara says he really just wasn't sure, or initially made a mistake, but whatever it is, it was, everybody thought that the Nevuah was not going to come true, but they made a mistake. They miscalculated as to when the Nevuah would take effect. So this next Gemara is a little bit famous. Probably people heard this, but they probably didn't hear the whole thing, and we'll go through it. Shaul Talmidav Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Talmidim asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, "B'nei Nischai Mevusonim Shal Yisrael Shavoso Hadar Klaya. Why the enemies of Israel, which is the euphemism for Klal Yisrael, deserve extermination?" Amar Lahem Imratem. He said to them, "You say the reason." So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai answers back, "No, you tell me." Amar Lahem, they said, "B'nei Shenena Misidaso Shavoso Rasha," because they went to the party of Achashverosh. In Cain, Shavishu Sheniragunu. Okay, fine. If so, so then that's only the Jews of Shushan. Because the Jews in the rest of the world should not have been killed, because it appears that the Jews in the rest of the world did not make it to the party of Achashverosh. The Jews of Shushan went to the party of Achashverosh, but not the Jews of the rest of the world. Amru lo emrata. The student said to him, "So tell us why. Why was it happen?" Amr Lahem, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, "Mimnei sheishtachlu letzelam." because they bow down to the image in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. They did Avodah Zarah. So why did the whole Purim story happen? According to this Gemara, according to Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hai, because of Avodah Zarah. The Talmidim said to him, if the Jews prostrated themselves, if they bowed down to the golden image, should favoritism be shown in such a case? Why were they redeemed? The Jews performed it only outwardly because they feared Nebuchadnezzar, but they didn't really bow down. They just did it to humor Nebuchadnezzar. So too, Hashem dealt with them only outwardly to frighten them into repenting. So the someone's written, for he does not afflict from his heart. So it's a little bit hard to understand, but it appears that what Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hai is saying is that really they did it, they didn't really bow down, they just sort of bowed down. So the same thing happened with the Mida Kenegan Mida. The Jews were punished that they were almost wiped out, but then Hashem saved them. Had they really bowed down, I don't know what would have happened. I guess maybe they would have had a bigger punishment, but Purim would not have been a celebration. So now we're going to get into the feast a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the feast. I don't know why the Gemara talks about how great the party was, but the Gemara is going to say how great the party was. The only thing I can imagine is that it was a very attractive party. Ahasuerus's party was a very attractive party, and we're going to go into a little bit how attractive this party was. And according to the garden of the king's palace, Rabu Shmuel, Chadamar, Haray, Lechatzer, Lechatzer. One said that three locations are mentioned to indicate that those were worthy of the court were brought to the court. Haray, Lagina, Lagina. And those were worthy of the garden were brought to the garden. Haray, Labisan, Labisan. Those were worthy of the palace were brought to the palace. Okay. Lechadamar, Oshiva, Lechatzer, Lo, Hechazikasan. And one said, the Megillah is saying that Ahasuerus could not put them in the court. He tried to put them in the court, but cannot accommodate them. Bakina lo heches zikasan. Put them in the garden, and it didn't work. Ad shehechnisan labisan heches zikasan. So he brought them into the palace, and it was big enough. It was such a big party, he couldn't fit them in certain places until he got to his own palace. The masnisan tana. The price, a different explanation is said. Hoshina mechater upasach lahem shnei pesachim. He sat them in the court and opened two portals for them. Echad Lagina, Echad Labisan. One leading to the garden and one leading to the palace. So it was a big party. Chor Karpasu Scheles. The Megillah says there are hangings of Chor Karpasu and blue. My Chor. Rav Amar Chari Chari. Rav said Chor are tapestries. Shmuel Amar Melas Mavana Hitzilahem. Shmuel said Chor is the white tool he spread out for them. Karpas, Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. What does the Megillah mean? Charm shall pass in cushions of fine wool. Al gulei chesef amudei sheish mitos zav lechesef. Upon silver rods and marble pillars, couches of gold and silver. Tanya, we learn a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Haroy lekesef lekesef." Those guests were worthy of silver were assigned to silver couches. Haroy lezav lezav. Those who were worthy of gold were assigned to gold. Amruo, Rabbi Nechanya said to them, "Im kain atametil kenavasuda." If so, seating arrangements were determined according to levels of importance. You were causing jealousy at the feast. Elohim shall cast sev, raglayim shall zav. Rather, all the couches were silver and the legs were of gold. The Megillah says, Bahat v'sheish, Amar ravasi avanim, shamis chotitos al balayin. Rashi said the floor was paved with stones, much sought after by their owners, but not easily obtained. The pasuk says stones of a crown obtainable after many trials over his land. We're going to skip around a little. The yain machus rav and royal wine in abundance. Amar rav melamein shekol echad vechad hishko yain shegadol hamenu bishanim. Since the states rav, the Megillah is teaching that each individual was served wine as greater than him in years. This some probably heard in yeshiva, that if you were, let's say, 50 years old, your wine that you drank was 51 years old. Comes from this Gemara, maybe a Midrash too. Vashtia, kadas, and drinking was according to the law. My kadas, what does Megillah mean it was according to the law? Amar Rabbi Chana, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Chana said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Kadash al Torah. It was according to Halacha. The party actually according to Halacha. My dash al Torah achila meruba mishtia. Just as the law of the Torah requires eating to exceed drinking quantitatively. Asudas shall also rasha achila meruba mishtia. So too at party of Ahasuerus, the eating exceeded the drinking. In Ones, without coercion, Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Megillah teaches that each one was given to drink from the wine of his own province. Wine that was accustomed to drinking. So this was such a fancy party. You got wine which was older than you, wine from your country, whatever you wanted, however you wanted. La'asos kirtzon ish v'ish. To do according to every man's pleasure. That's what the Megillah says. Amar Rava, Rava says, La'asos kirtzon Mordechai v'Haman. Rava said to do according to the will of Mordechai and Haman, who served as chamberlains of the cupbearers of the feast. Okay, so they were actually at the party. Mordechai diksev ish Yehudi, Haman ish sarva oyev. Mordechai is called Ish, as is written, Jewish man, and Haman, and says, a man, an adversary, and an enemy. Now, this is a very wondrous Gemara, and maybe it could a little bit tie in to why the Gemara discusses the whole party and how fancy it was to the very last detail. There is a Medrash that probably many heard. I tracked it down. It's a Medrash, Esther Rabbah, that says that Mordechai told the Jews, don't go to the party. It was a big mistake to go to the party. It seems it was not to make peace with the king, because maybe there could have been a heter, but it was just a party to just, you know, be like the Persians, blend in with the Persians. The Jews thought, I guess, they would assimilate with the Persians, which we said in the Gemara for the Jews of Shushan, the Talmidim of Shimon Bar Yochai said that was why Purim happened. That was the very Avera that Purim happened. But this Gemara says that Mordechai was actually one of the cupbearers. I guess he was helping out at the party. And it's a very wondrous thing. If you take the Gemara and the Medrash together, that it sort of sounds like Mordechai told the Jews not to go, but he was there as a cupbearer. So it doesn't appear that Mordechai was actually drinking from the wine, but I had heard, I think the way I understand it, like he may have been like a mashkiach, which I think teaches a very valuable lesson. And sometimes Rabbanim will tell you not to go to a certain thing, but they're there just to make sure that they're there to sort of check up on things, because they need to know what's going on. They know what you're talking about when they say don't go. So this Persian party, Mordechai said don't go, but he was there to make sure everything was okay and to see what the Jews were doing and maybe to try to dissuade them. And that could be why the Gemara here talks about how lavish the party was, because this was a very attractive party. And even Gemara says that it was all kosher. It was done according to the Torah. And nevertheless, Mordechai said don't go, because Mordechai knew that this was not a party that was based on Das Torah or Halacha or, you know, whatever you can call it. This was a party that the Jews were not supposed to go to, but he went to make sure that everything was okay, And sometimes Rabbanim have to, I guess, have this delicate balance where they tell you not to go, but they go maybe for some reason and they know what you're talking about. In the end, according to the students of Rishon Rechai, that's why Purim happened. The Jews were not supposed to go to the party, and that's why they were punished. But sometimes a Rav has to be a little bit clever and I guess balance things a little bit, and it seems to me that that's what this Gemara is teaching. Zion, I'm wishing everybody bracha, tzachah, and learning. Live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah. Maybe in the future we'll continue. We haven't even touched the second parak yet, and then in the future we may continue with the Megillah. Have a wonderful night. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.